For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, and we start reading from verse 44. Matthew 13, the verses 44 through 53. And there we read God's holy word. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. So far the reading of the word of God. The text of the sermon do you find in the portion we read? Matthew 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44, where we read the text of the sermon. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Beloved congregation, maybe you know the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Perhaps this saying sounds a bit strange. What does the Lord Jesus mean by these words? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It has to do with the desire of your heart. The things that became a treasure for you will also possess your heart. The things that are a treasure for you are also the things you focus on. Your greatest desire is your treasure as well. Your heart is eager to it. And the Lord Jesus wants to make clear with these words that when we know someone's desire, someone's treasure, then we have the key to understand his heart. And when we know someone's greatest desire, we also know the focus of his heart. And the question this morning is, what the focus is of your heart? Have we found the treasure? Do you know his grace? And do you know the kingdom of his grace? Is that the focus of your heart? We will listen to the parable about the treasure in the field. And our text tells us three things about this treasure. This, first of all, a found treasure. Secondly, a hidden treasure. And thirdly, an obtained treasure. The treasure in the field. First of all, a found treasure. For we read, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found. Secondly, a hidden treasure. For we read, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath. And then we come to our third point, an obtained treasure, and buyeth that field. If you are a little bit known with the Gospels, then you know that the Lord has many times spoken about the kingdom of heaven by telling parables. The parable we listened to this morning is one of the so-called seven kingdom parables, which you can find in this chapter. We wonder why the Lord told seven parables to explain the meaning and content of the kingdom of heaven. Was it not possible for the Lord Jesus to tell it just with one parable? Oh, for sure. The chief prophet and teacher has taught the people perfectly and sufficiently. Why then so many parables? Because the kingdom of God is so comprehensive and outstandingly that it can impossibly be explained by one parable. The kingdom of God has so many aspects that it needs to be explained by several parables which all show the different aspects of the kingdom of God. And for that reason, the Lord Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven with a seed, with a man which showed good seed in his field, with a mustard seed, with a leaven, with a hidden treasure, and with a merchant man, and with a net. And the parable we listen to is about a treasure in a field. A treasure is something that is costly and worth much money. We do not know the content of the treasure. It could be coins, gold, jewelry, and other valuables that are buried in a chest or vessel. It was buried in the field. And we wonder how the treasure ended up in the field. The field is for crops, and the parable suggests that the man who did find the treasure was doing his job, namely to work the field. That is true. The field is not a bank where you can put money and jewelry in safety. However, we should keep in mind that in those days there was not a bank with a safety deposit box as a guard for all your valuables. You will understand that the houses of the people did not have safe places. You could easily walk in and out the houses. So if you felt the need to guard money or jewelry from robbery, you better put it in a chest or vessel and bury it under the ground. That happened in those days. Especially in days of war and robbery, people buried their properties not at home, but under the ground. And maybe this treasure was buried when the Romans came and seized power. Or maybe before that period, when the Syrians or Babylonians came to plunder the country. In those dark days, people buried their valuables under the ground at a time that no one would notice it. And in this way, the valuables were kept out of the hands of gripping robbers. And the spot where the valuables were buried were unknown to everyone, except by the owner, of course. And we imagine that the robbers came and that the owner of the treasure disastrously passed away. Maybe he was kept in exile and did not turn back home. No one else knew of this treasure. Maybe some heirs have looked for it since they knew that the person in case must have had valuables, but they ultimately could not find. Maybe this treasure had been laid there for decades, or maybe even for centuries. A treasure under the ground. Maybe many people have walked over it without knowing. In those days, there were no many paved roads. So people were used to walk over the fields. People walked over it without knowing the treasure that was under their feet. And if they would have known what was under the ground, maybe through decades, many farmers went over it with a plow. If they had stitched a bit deeper, they would have found the treasure. But nobody knew, and nobody saw, and nobody found. And this is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. And we wonder, what is the kingdom of heaven? We all have heard this expression before, but do we know what it means? Children, what is the kingdom of heaven? Maybe you first think of God's kingdom in heaven. And that is right. God is king in heaven. But it is not limited to heaven. No, God's kingdom has come into this world. And the expression kingdom of heaven means exactly the same as the kingdom of God. Matthew, who wrote the gospel first of all to the Jews, took into account that the Jews preferred to use God's name indirectly. Instead of kingdom of God, they prefer to use the expression kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. It is the empire whereof God is king. He rules and everything is submitted to him. In his kingdom, everyone acknowledges him as king and obeys him out of pure love. Where do you perceive this kingdom on earth? It is in the hearts of all those that fear his name. It is there where the Lord Jesus comes and where his grace enters into a sinner's life. And when God's kingdom enters into someone's life, he will be born again. He will repent, and he comes in need of the Lord Jesus. He discovers the glory and the power of King Jesus and accepts him with his whole heart. What does that mean? When God's kingdom enters into your heart, you become a partaker of salvation. That means that you will be delivered from the dominion of the evil and of sin. It means that you change of owner. You are delivered from the power of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You become an enemy of sin, and your heart will be filled with the love of God. Someone that enters in the kingdom of God receives forgiveness of sin and peace in his heart. He has hope for eternal life. He is an heir of the treasure which is laid for them that fear his name. And many things can be said about the content of the kingdom of God. And if we will summarize it, we only need to mention one name, namely the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the righteousness of the kingdom of God. He has obtained new life by his suffering and death. In him, all the promises of the kingdom of God are yea and amen. He has made the citizens of God's kingdom to his own by the payment of his blood. He is the Savior. John the Baptist said, he stands amongst you. The kingdom of God has come so nearby. In Jesus Christ you find life. In him is salvation for now and forever. What do you think? Is this not a treasure? Is there something better than to know that God is not against you, but for you? Is there something better in life than that God sees no sin anymore in you, but only the righteousness of Christ? What is better than to know that you are not on the way to hell anymore, but on the narrow way to heaven? Is there something better than to be a partaker of the treasure which passes all understanding, a treasure that is even more worth than all the earthen treasures together. Why is this treasure of the kingdom of heaven better than the treasures of this life? Because prosperity and wealth and luxury can never pay your debt before God. For sure, you can enjoy life and live the way you like. There is a possibility that you grow old with that. But it does not acquire any peace in your heart. Peace that is beyond our understanding. And don't forget that all the blessings you receive of the Lord does not bring you into His kingdom. All the blessings of the Lord are no marks of spiritual state. They reveal to us the goodness of the Lord toward a sinner like you and me. But temporary blessings of the Lord do not provide spiritual peace. You need to know the King of this kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And otherwise, you will never become an heir of the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. And you are really blessed when you have found life in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you became a poor sinner before the Lord and came in need of the King of the kingdom of heaven, who alone can save you. When you know the treasure that is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The parable we listened to this morning, however, tells us that the treasure is hidden. It is put into the ground. What does that mean? Well, it means that you cannot find God's kingdom everywhere. You cannot grab it wherever you are, and it is not reachable everywhere. It is not there where the lusts of the flesh can be found. What do I mean? You do not find God's kingdom by surfing on the internet the whole night. You cannot find God's kingdom in playing hours video games. You find God's kingdom not in the cinema or a stadium for paid sports. You do not find God's kingdom in listening to pop songs. In this world, there is so much you can obtain to cherish your sinful flesh, your carnal lusts, whether you're young or old. Sins never say it is enough. Our carnal flesh wants always more. And the more you indulge sin, the more you get used to it. You do not see anything wrong in it, because sin makes us blind. And those who think that it is not so bad prove that they are blind. And this parable reveals to us the hidden character of the kingdom of heaven. Why is it hidden? Because we are blind for it. We are blind for God and His kingdom. Maybe you do not like to hear this time and again, but the scriptures are very clear about this. We are blind. And the man who knew everything from scripture, namely Nicodemus, had to learn that lesson as well. The Lord Jesus said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see, let alone he can enter in. And by the way, there will never be a man who can see the kingdom of God without being able to enter in. The one that does not enter in has never seen it either. Where are we blind for? We are blind for the glory and the beauty of the Lord Jesus. We do not see that He perfectly fits with a sinner like you and me. You are blind for the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. Because the one that gets a sight of the Lord Jesus will fall on his knees and pray in deep humility, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." How many people have seen the Lord Jesus on earth without seeing his glory and beauty? The treasure is hidden in the field. That is not something you expect. The farmer in the parable did not think with himself that morning, "Who knows, I will find a treasure." Of course not. He came to the field with the purpose to work the land and not to find the treasure. The treasure is not exposed to all and everyone. It is hidden. It was laid in the field. And many people have walked over it since no one noticed the treasure. And without faith, you will not perceive any riches in it. Is that not happened with the Lord Jesus Christ? The King of the kingdom of heaven, who was in full glory and honor and was laid in a manger, a place for beasts. You don't expect a treasure in a manger. You do not expect riches from someone who becomes poor. The people did not expect the Messiah from Nazareth. Pay attention to his way of suffering. He became a curse. Do you expect any blessing from someone who has become a curse? Isaiah prophesies of him. All see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not, because by nature we are so blind. And that explains why you sometimes see nothing while you read the Bible. For that reason, you sometimes understand so little of God's Word. That is what you meet not only in the world, outside the church, but also in the church. Not only with an indifferent church member, but also with serious and faithful church members who still do not know the riches of the kingdom of heaven personally. There are even those who profess that they know the Lord Jesus by faith, but who are way too busy to study God's Word and to meditate upon it. Oh, I know, life can be very busy. But what is the first thing you seek in life? Is it this? The treasure of the kingdom of heaven. You do not see so much in it because you are blind. You miss the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. You miss the miracle of regeneration. And this is our reality by nature. The kingdom of heaven is hidden to us. And some of us will recognize this. You hear the gospel Lord's Day after Lord's Day, but it does not touch you. You are like a dog that has swum in a pool and comes out of it. And what is a dog doing then? He shakes the water off. And that is what you are doing when you leave the sanctuary every Lord's Day without a sincere repentance. You shake the gospel of free grace from you. You do not seek. You do not dig. You do not find. And you are neither cold nor hot. And if there is an opportunity to hear more of the kingdom of God and to seek after it, you don't show up because it is not your first interest. It has not your heart. This life has enough for you. The treasure is hidden. Do you know what the gospel says about this, about you? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, but if our gospel is hid, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. When your heart stay closed and your eyes stay closed, then you are lost. If God's kingdom is not the first thing to seek to, then you are lost. How will this change? Well, by finding the kingdom of heaven. And we read in our parable, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, a man, not serious man, not a trustworthy man, not a seeking man, no, just a man. That means a child of Adam. That is someone who has turned his back to God. Someone who stands outside the kingdom of God. But he finds. Who is this man? Well, we don't know. We know that he is working in the field. And for his own or for someone else. Maybe he's a servant of a farmer, or he had rent a piece of land. And then all of a sudden, he gets stuck in something hard. And he discovers a chest or vessel in the ground. He is curious and he gets it rid of soil. And with big eyes, he discovers the riches of the treasure. And what does this man, and what does this mean for the man? Well, this treasure opens up a new perspective. The man was a simple servant or maybe a poor tenant. By finding this treasure, a new world opens up. Now he can get rich. This will completely change his life. Although he is not the owner yet, he has sight on a new perspective that encourages him. But the treasure belongs to the owner of the land, so he cannot take it with him. He is not the rightful owner of it. What does he do? Well, he puts the treasure back into the hole and covers it with the soil again. He hides the treasure carefully so that no one will know of this treasure. And then he purchases the land so that he can own the treasure that is in the field. And maybe this sounds a bit strange. Someone of us could ask, is this fair? Obviously, this is not a type of parable whereby the Lord Jesus wants to shock his audience, but to instruct the people about the kingdom of God. We rather should emphasize that this man seeks to get owner of the treasure in a fair way. He could also steal the treasure by hiding it behind his robe. No one would see it, and no one would miss it. No, he wants to be an owner of the treasure in a righteous way. And therefore, only one way is left, namely to buy the field. And so it happened. And the core of this parable is the joy he experiences by finding the treasure and the joy he experiences in putting all effort in buying the field. He desires to own the treasure. Let us briefly pay attention to the fact that he found the treasure unexpected and unthought of. That is how God still works. You attend church as usual. You attend the prayer meetings. You assemble together for ABC. And then, unexpected and unthought of, you run stuck in the treasure which was hidden for you. Oh yes, You have to be on the field. You need to use the means in which the treasure is hidden. By using the means, the miracle will take place. God can open His Word while you do not even seek Him. He can open up the treasure. Do you know of this? Do you know something of God's sovereignty whereby He came to you by His Word to open up the treasure of the gospel? You know of this when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes for the gospel. You know of this when the Lord draws you with an invisible hand. He draws you and He speaks to you. And what happens then? When the Lord shows His treasure, you discover your own unworthiness. Your eyes opened for the personal sins before the Lord. You discover your miserable state before Him. You admit that you do not fit with the Lord. And what do you see more? You discover also the riches of the gospel. In spite of who you are, the Lord shows you that there is a way of salvation opened. That there is one who has satisfied God's wrath against your sins. That there is one who has given His life to a full remission of all your sins. That is such a marvelous treasure, congregation, a treasure for someone who cannot bear any longer the burden of sins. He is such a treasure for poor and needy sinners. Oh, when the Spirit opens up the treasure in the Lord Jesus, you see no one but Jesus only. This parable reminds us to the word of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me. What a blessing. What a blessing when the Lord makes you to a seeking man and woman. This man did not even seek. And there are more examples of people who did not seek, but who were sought and found by the Lord. The woman of Samaria did not seek the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria to find her. What do you think of the author of the gospel we listened to? Matthew, also called Levi. He was sitting in his tax office. He was blind for the Lord and His Word, but the Lord opened His Word so that he discovered the riches of His Word. He left all and followed Jesus. Do you know something of this? Has the Lord opened His Word for you while you did not seek Him? The Lord is always the first. That is also a character of the kingdom of heaven. The Lord seeks and finds sinners. He wants to feed the hungry and cleanse the thirsty. And under the preaching of the gospel is the field where the treasure can be found. It is a blessing when you look forward in order to find the treasure. The one who seeks shall find. But what happens after the man finds the treasure? We said already that he does not take it along with him. He does not want to steal the treasure. No, he hid it. He has seen the treasure, but it is yet not his own. But there is one thing he desires: to purchase the field. He did not reason, oh, I have seen the treasure. That's enough for me. No, of course not. He needs to be the owner of it. And here we have an important spiritual lesson. The salvation in Christ needs to be your own. It needs to be applied to you. You see something of the wonder of the gospel. You see something of the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you desire to be a partaker of His salvation. But you do not know how. You only see your own unworthiness and His holiness. How can that fit together? But you have tasted something of the sweetness and riches of the gospel. It possesses your heart, and you cannot let it go. Many things you do not understand. And you cannot understand the whole treasure of salvation. But there is one thing you know. I need to know Him. I need to be His own, and He needs to be mine. And that is where true faith is looking for. To know by faith that you are His own and that He is mine. Faith exists in possessives, says Luther. Faith wants to own everything of Christ. And that happens. That happens when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes for the treasure of the gospel. You desire Him, and at the same time you know that you cannot grab Him. His grace needs to be mine. And then something will change in your life. A new perspective will be opened for you, and you want to go forward. It changes your life. And what happens in the parable? Well, the man hides the treasure. And we read, "And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." That means that this treasure means everything for this man. So that it sets upside down his whole life. There's only one thing this man can think of. This treasure needs to be mine. This treasure is worth much more than I possess. He wants to sell all he has in order to obtain the treasure. Does this mean that you can earn the treasure of grace? Can I pay for it with anything of myself? No, that is not the spiritual meaning. It means that the kingdom of God becomes so important to you. It is like a treasure that possesses your heart, your thoughts, and it rules your acts. You cannot earn the blessings of the kingdom of God, but you are willing to sacrifice everything for it. Why? Because of the treasure. And this shows the working of the Holy Spirit. Just like we read of Matthew, the tax collector. When the Lord Jesus called him, he left all, rose up, and followed Jesus. The exceeding great value of the kingdom of God makes everything we have or can earn in this world pale in comparison. Like Moses, who gave up everything for the sake of Christ, as we read in Hebrews 11, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And what about Paul? He was a Pharisee and thought he was rich. He had so much self-righteousness. He esteemed himself not as a worse sinner, but as a man who had a zeal for the Lord and his service. He had done so much for the service of the Lord. But the Holy Spirit taught to count different. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes all. And the man of the parable sold all he had. For him, nothing had more value than this treasure. And that is how it is spiritually as well. When the Holy Spirit works mightily in your heart, you wish to sacrifice everything in order to be a partaker of the salvation, to know him and to meet him. And he selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. That means that your entire life comes under the empire of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God becomes first in your life. You need to sell everything. That means that you surrender all your possessions to the service of the Lord. You need to leave everything. Everything that is against the kingdom of God. That is conversion. I need to die to myself. I need to die to my own desires and conditions. And you start to hate sin because of the love of God in your heart. And life is no longer about what I can earn and what I can reach in this life. Life is about serving God. All aspects of life come under the dominion of grace. And other people will notice that either. The service of the Lord means everything for you. Not because you have to, but because you want to. You experience the love and the zeal in your heart for the service of the Lord. And you become humble. You love to comply with God's law. And you love to accommodate to the manners of the congregation because you desire peace and love in the service of the Lord. You increasingly will ask, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And you wonder, "What is spiritually to the best for my family, for the congregation, for my neighbor, for myself?" And all other things in life becomes less important. Paul says, "I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus." Do you understand the man of the parable? He sacrificed everything for the sake of the treasure. What is the service of the Lord worth for you? Or do you never wonder what you have to sacrifice for the service of the Lord? Do you not need to strive against your carnal lusts? Are you not suffering of the sick tendency to view everything in a temporal perspective? You don't? Then I am afraid that you are still blind. That you have never really seen the treasure. That you do not know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you have to do? You need to seek it with the Lord. Pray to the Lord that he will open your blind eyes. That he will show you who you are and who the Lord is. That he shows you the treasure of the gospel. With less you cannot die. And without this treasure you will never know of the joy of the gospel. If you think that it is only negative to sacrifice everything for the service of the Lord, then you are wrong. Our text says that the man had joy. He had joy. Not because he found. Not because he was so lucky. No, he experienced joy because of the treasure. Spiritually, you will experience joy when your eyes are opened for the wealth of the kingdom of heaven. The man does not sell all his possessions with a cranky face. No, you notice happiness on his face. And spiritually, it is the same. You desire to leave everything that hinders you in the service of the Lord. You desire to strive against sin and against your flesh. Does that not hurt? Oh, for sure. You can even mourn for a while. But the service of the Lord is not a burden, but joy. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the treasure of the kingdom, you experience joy when you look to Him by faith. Because He is most sweet, yea, He is altogether lovely. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. There will your heart be also. We quoted that at the beginning of the sermon. And I will also close with it. This is how it is spiritually. That means for the practical religion that you desire to get more and more sight of the kingdom of God, and you wish to lose more and more the things of this temporary life, He must increase, I must decrease. That is something you learn not once, but time and again, so that you will joyfully sing, "Whom have I, Lord, but Thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy, but Thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning." Amen.